Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with Josh Nelson, where we get real, we get honest, and we get clear about the financial world and your money. This is Josh Nelson, a certified financial planner and founder and CEO of Keystone Financial Services. We love feedback, and we'd love it if you would pass it on to me directly at josh@keystonefinancial.com. Also, please stay plugged in with us, get updates on episodes, and help us promote the podcast, and also subscribing to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast service. Let the financial fun begin. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about three rules for paying for college wisely. And these are my rules, of course, because it's my show. But after 20 plus years now being a financial advisor, I can see a lot of things that have worked and a lot of things that haven't worked out so well for people. Lots of patterns, in other words, that I've been able to recognize of success and patterns of failure. And paying for higher education is no exception to that. Now, of course, this time of year, we're all kind of going to graduation parties and getting, announcements, things like that from people. So I think it's on a lot of people's minds is people kind of graduating and going on to that next step. Now, not everybody goes on to higher education, but many people do. And I think that's important to recognize really what path you are on. Now, I do have a bias, and my bias is that education of some type is always a good investment. In other words, if it's the right education, it's a great investment because you're reinvesting back into yourself or into the life of another person, either your kids, your grandkids, somebody else that you're supporting. But ultimately, education is a good investment. It needs to be a little bit targeted, though, because, of course, we have lots of examples of people who have gotten degrees that end up being worthless because it was in some kind of bizarre thing that had nothing to do with what profession or career track they were going towards. So getting education is no guarantee, needs to be thought out a bit. But statistically, you know, they do show that we will make more money on average if we have a higher amount of education beyond high school. In fact, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and this is from 2020, shows that the average high school diploma earner, if that's as far as you went, in other words, average salary per year, $38,792. For somebody who has a bachelor's degree that goes up to $64,896, and for advanced degrees like a doctorate, it's almost $100,000 per year. Now, that was from 2020, but I don't think it's that far off of where we are today. Bottom line is, statistically, it's a good thing to get education as long as it's targeted to what it is that you want to do. Let's use an example. Let's say that somebody wants to start their own business and they're never going to be working for anybody else. Now, that's probably weird. That probably doesn't happen because most people that have businesses started out working for somebody else. But let's say that that's what track you were on. Many people who have a business degree say what they learned in college didn't prepare them very well for being a business owner. And it may not be a terrible thing. There may be some things that you're learning and maybe connections that you're making. Maybe it's just a chance to grow up for a few years because you've got that baby face just coming out of high school. But ultimately, it's important to think about, what does that look like for you? Maybe you're going to be going into a business that's going to be more of a trade, like being an electrician or a plumber or going into construction work. Now, are there degrees? Is there education that you can get in those areas? Absolutely. But be thinking about what it is that you're planning on doing and making sure that whatever education that you're going towards does end up being a good investment. So that's one bias that I always have, though, is reinvesting back into yourself or into the life of another person is always a great investment. Just make sure that it's well thought out. So my three rules for paying for college wisely. Number one, parents, put your own oxygen mask on first. Is your own financial house in order? Now, be honest about this. If your own financial house is not in order, then you shouldn't be paying for college or taking on any additional debt to pay for it. What I mean by that is, for folks who already have a boatload of debt and they've got no cash in the bank, they're not saving for retirement, those are kind of foundational things that need to be happening before we go on to paying for college. Now, I know that people will argue with me on that, and some people have over the years, and that's perfectly fine. I think it is important to make sure that you've got your own financial house in order, you've got your own financial security set before you go on to paying for kids' college. There's lots of ways that they can cover that on their own, and there's no obligation. I don't think you signed anything in blood at any point, right, saying that you were going to pay for all of their college no matter where they went. It may not be that you can cover all of it or any of it. In some circumstances, it's important to think about that. Now, kids, if you know that your parents can't afford it or you suspect that maybe they aren't in the best financial shape, don't expect them to hurt their own financial security to pay your way. I know that's a harsh reality because in our society, I think in a lot of ways, it's almost been set up as this expectation now that once you're an adult, you're really not an adult. In other words, because you turn 18 or 19 or whatever age you want to say you're an adult, you know, society now has ways that your parents can cover you under their health insurance and their car insurance. And it's almost become this obligation or a perception that your parents have to just keep covering you after that point. It's important to recognize that you're an adult now. And so you need to be thinking adult thoughts. And one of those is thinking about your parents and making sure that you're not doing something, because I know you wouldn't want to do this, of course, but be cognizant of the fact that something that they may want to do just because they care about you and love you might be hurting themselves financially. So it's important to recognize that. Again, parents, put your own oxygen mask on first. Make sure that you've got your own stuff in order. And if you're not sure if you do or not, there's a lot of resources out there, including us. So definitely take the time, assess that. And again, kids, make sure you're at least cognizant of the fact of not what your parents want to do or what they feel like doing, but making sure that it's not something that's going to hurt them financially. Rule number two, don't go into debt. Please, if you do, pay it off as soon as possible, but don't go into debt, period. Now, I know that's countercultural in a lot of ways, because these days it almost seems like everybody has to have a student loan. Nobody can cover their own college. I don't agree with that. I didn't have student loans. I did have a small student loan at the end just because I was stupid and believed the student loan people when they said, hey, you should borrow this money because you don't have to pay interest. But I really didn't need to borrow the money. And the reason for that is my parents agreed to cover half of my college, went to a state school, nothing crazy as far as expense, but they agreed to cover half of it for myself, my sister, and my brother. But the reality is I worked my butt off in college and worked 30 plus hours a week at a grocery store and basically made enough money that I was able to cover a lot of my own expenses. One of the years I also was a resident assistant, which meant that all of my room and board was paid for. So that defrayed my expenses by quite a bit. Bottom line is I didn't need to take out any student loan debt when I went into that student loan office. I should have run the other way. I just didn't know any better at the time. But the reality was that I didn't need to borrow the money, and I did end up paying it off as soon as possible myself. When you talk to people who have student loans, it is just like this monkey on people's back. It's like an anchor going into their life. And of course, we've heard stories about people who have tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt that they go into to pay for their higher education. So it's important to just have the mindset that I'm not going to go into debt over this, either for my kids or, you know, for myself. I'm not going to go into debt and put myself in a financial hole that I have to climb out of someday. Now, if you already have student loans, I'm not going to beat up on you anymore maybe than I already have. But bottom line is get them paid off as soon as possible. Go back to the episodes on the debt snowball and get on that like crazy and get all of your debt paid off as soon as possible. The mortgage we treat a little bit differently. That's important because it's an appreciating asset. It's something that almost always goes up in value over time. So it's a little bit of a different bird. Also, most people can't just go out and write a check for a $200,000-$500,000 house, especially when it's their first one. So that is treated a little bit differently. All of your other debt, student loans, credit cards, any other kind of consumer debt, car loans, get those things paid off as soon as possible using the debt snowball approach. That's Dave Ramsey's approach, by the way, not mine, but it works really, really well. Number three is know the rules and use them to your advantage. Now, ideally, paying for college, you've saved up the money in advance. Ideally, you've got a nice little college account that you've been setting money aside into. A 529 college savings plan typically is what we would recommend. Not always. Sometimes there's some accounts that work better based on certain situations, but almost always the 529 education plan is the best for saving for college. Now, as far as how you invest the money, there's all kinds of different details there. We're not going to get into that today just because we don't have time. But more or less, understand the rules and use them to your advantage. Understand the tax implications of any of these accounts or investments that you could be pulling from or accumulating the money in for college, because it's really, really important that you understand the rules of the game so you're not surprised when you have to pay some taxes or a penalty or something like that because you didn't follow the rules or maybe you just didn't understand. But it's important to really think about those things, know the rules, or hire a financial planner, somebody who really knows the rules well and can help you plan. Also, there are all kinds of different resources out there. Back to number two, I said, don't go into debt. Well, there are lots of different ways that you cannot go into debt. One of those would be to save the money up in advance. Again, you know, starting a college account, we've got a one-year-old, we've already set up her college account, and we are funding it pretty aggressively right now to make sure that the money is set aside well before she actually gets to college. But also there are grants, there are scholarships. They actually say that most scholarships go unclaimed because people don't apply for them. Even people that would qualify don't end up applying because it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of work, right? Oftentimes involves filling out applications and writing papers, things like that. But ultimately, that could be a way that you're not going into debt. Be a resident assistant. I mentioned that before. At least the college that I went to, all my room and board was paid for during the year that I was there. And so really the only cost that needed to be covered was tuition and books, you know, the basic fees that you have to pay. But as far as my room and board, that was paid for. Another option is the military, and that's very valid. In fact, my sister did that. They paid for her medical school, which was quite a good investment. Of course, she had to give them some years after that. It was a sacrifice of time. And of course, they dictate your life for a while anyway, but it was great from a training standpoint, and also the fact that she got to leave medical school with no debt and go into her career then eventually without having to have any debt on the books. So be willing to adapt, be creative, work your butt off while you're in college. Again, a lot of people do that. There are a lot of people that have college jobs. So I hear it sometimes as far as, well, I don't want my kids to have to suffer or struggle or something like I did. Is that a terrible thing? Because really, when you look back, when you think about your years when you were poor or working your butt off, do you really look at those years as being bad years or a bad experience? Probably not. In most cases, people look at even their bad jobs, and I look back to some of my worst jobs that I had, and those are a badge of honor. You know, I actually feel good about those jobs from the standpoint that I really had a lot of pride in getting the job to begin with working hard, making money, and then getting a better job. And really, that's the best way, of course, is to get out of a bad job, is to work your butt off and move into a better job over time. Another option is to get less expensive credits. Of course, there are lots of ways in high schools these days to get college credits by taking AP courses, by taking community college courses while you're still in high school. In many cases, there are ways to get your basic general education credits before you even graduate from high school. Now, of course, you also could choose a less expensive school. And again, I know there are lots of different people who would debate with me on this. But bottom line is that when you talk to your doctor, do you know or care what college they went to or what medical school they went to? Well, it depends, right? If they're going to do brain surgery on you, you might care. You might ask some of those questions, but my guess is probably not. In most cases, once you get into your career, you get going, most employers really don't care, may not even ask. They might just want to know that you have a degree. There are probably a few professions out there. If you want to be the president of the United States, if you wanted to be the CEO of a company, you know, Fortune 500 company, things like that, there might be some things, prestigious law firms, you probably could make the case that there are certain universities that you really need to have those connections and that background to be able to get those types of jobs. But in most cases, it doesn't matter. So looking at less expensive ways to get through school and get the degree. Of course, going to community college for the first 2 years, lots of people do that. Go to community college for the first two and then transfer to the school of your choice. Just make sure that those credits are able to be transferred. And another option that a lot of people are looking at now is getting a job at a company that does education reimbursement. For example, let's say that you want to be a registered nurse. It could be that you actually start working for a medical system at a lower level position. And by doing that, they actually will allow you to work and go to school, and they'll actually pay for your education, or at least a portion of it. So there are all kinds of creative ways. Of course, we could spend a lot of time doing that today, but yeah, we just don't have the time. I think you can get creative and get resourceful if you agree with me on step number one, step number two. Again, rule number one today was, parents, put your oxygen mask on first. We're not going to sacrifice our financial safety, our security, our future to pay for higher education. It just doesn't make sense on an aircraft, and it doesn't make sense in your financial life either. And then rule number two is, don't go into debt. And I'm talking about both parents and kids in this case. Don't go into debt. Figure out ways that you can get through. And there are lots of creative ways that we talked about in rule number three there. There are also a lot of great resources out there. A big fan of Dave Ramsey. If you go to Dave Ramsey's website, they have books on this. There's a book called Debt-Free Degree, in fact, that I like a lot. It talks a lot about getting creative and figuring out how to pay for higher education without having to leave college with a bunch of debt. So don't even go down that path. If you agree with me on these things, and believe me, I've worked with so many people over the years and nobody likes their student loans. And of course, I know it's a controversial topic right now because it's being debated that, hey, you know, should we forgive student loans, a portion or all of people's student loans? I wouldn't even go down that path. I would not expect that somebody is going to be covering your college to begin with, and I would not expect that somebody is going to pay off your student loans. If it happens and you're a beneficiary of that, well, great. That's great. Now you've got extra money. So bottom line is that paying for college is really expensive. Oftentimes it is a good investment. It's a great investment. I think always, you know, reinvesting back into yourself. We talked about that earlier. Ultimately, just do it wisely. I think there are wise ways to approach this. And again, with the three rules, I think you will actually do quite well if you kind of keep those three rules in mind. And again, be resourceful. Use people that you know. Use resources out there that you know of, online, books, things like that. There's all kinds of accumulated wisdom on this topic, but keep in mind those three rules. I hope that's helpful for today. I hope you go into your summer. And for any of you graduates, congratulations. I've got James, my 18-year-old, actually graduating from high school, actually before this is released or about the time this is released. So congratulations to James and congratulations to all the folks out there that are graduating both from high school and college. A great investment that you just made. And I hope that you are financially successful in the future. That's it for today. Anything that you can do to help support the Wiser Financial Advisor and letting more people know about it, make sure that you're hitting subscribe, of course, on your favorite podcast service like Apple or Spotify or pretty much any service that you use. We're going to be on there. So find us there. And also make sure that you're letting your friends know, share the podcast, especially episodes that resonate and you think, you know, this applies to so-and-so. Maybe it doesn't apply to me as much right now, but maybe it applies to a friend, a coworker, a family member that really needs to hear what we're talking about. The whole idea is we're here to help people. We're here to get people in a better place financially because we know the average American's not happy with where they are financially. There's just no reason why these days, with all the resources and knowledge, that people aren't equipped to be able to make great financial decisions. And that's really what we're here to do, is to help them make wiser choices with their money based on experience and based on trial and error that other people have done. Remember, trial and error, it's the toughest way, the most painful way in a lot of cases to learn how to do anything. And so that's what we're here to do, is to use wisdom that's been accumulated and make better, faster choices that will have an impact on our financial lives and the lives of others. I hope you have a great week and God bless.
The opinions voiced in the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with host Josh Nelson are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advisory services offered through Keystone Financial Services, an SEC registered investment advisor.